Welcome to You Can Have What You Want with your host, Michael Neal.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be. Our topic for today is value for money. And if you have any questions about how you can do more things with your money or have more money to do things with or just about having what you want in any area of your life, the numbers to call are 1-866-254-1579. That's toll free, 1-866-254-1579. Or from outside the United States, you can reach us on 001-760-918-4300. So the idea for this particular show came to me when I was doing a webinar and sort of an online seminar, and the topic of exploration was seeing money with new eyes. And one of the distinctions that came out in the midst of this training was the question, are you getting value for your money? Now, whenever I've heard that question before, it's always been in the context of, you know, are you getting a good deal? You know, wow, a $6 burger for only $3.99? That's amazing. Wow, I can get this used car for the ridiculously low price and you're killing me here of $500? Depending on the car and the person selling it, that could be $50,000, but the same kind of sales pitch. You know, value for money is, am I getting the absolute best deal possible? But you can ask the question in a different spirit. What happens if you ask yourself, are you getting those things which you value? Things like, for most of us, happiness, joy, a richer life, in exchange for the money that you're spending. Now, if you ask yourself that question, it starts to become obvious that a good deal has a good deal more to do with the pleasure and the satisfaction and the meaning that you're getting in exchange for the money that you're spending than just with comparative pricing. And by way of an example, if you want to get in with questions, numbers to call again, 1-866-254-1579. It's toll-free, 866-254-1579. We'll go to the phones in just a minute. I was talking to one of my Hollywood clients, and she had struggled for years, and she just got her first $1 million payday. And she was being advised by her financial advisors that she could only really get value for her money if she immediately would place all that money into long-term investments and short-term speculation so she could maximize her return and minimize her risk. And that all sounds sane. But if you start looking in terms of value for money, are you getting what you really value for your money? In talking with her, it became apparent that for her, after having struggled for so many years, what she really valued was a sense of security and a sense that if she didn't work for the next 30 years, that would be okay. And that's just a paranoia a lot of people in show business have, you know. Well, I may never work again. I know I just won an Oscar, but yeah. So for her, putting that money in just the equivalent of a basic savings account, and if you've ever tried to park $1 million in a basic savings account, I haven't, but she now has. It's not as easy as you'd think. Was actually worth more to her. It was more value for her money than if she had done the right thing that her advisors told her and put it in all those investments. Now, that's not to say that, you know, putting money under your mattress is therefore a more valuable investment than putting it into a 401k. But recognizing the real value that you're getting or not getting for your money is priceless. We're going to talk more about this throughout the show, but I want to talk to you as well. And let's begin with Susan in British Columbia, I think. Is that British Columbia?
Yes, it is.
Hello there. What can I do for you today?
Okay, well, my situation would be I'm feeling sometimes that I'm not actually getting joy from some of the money that I'm spending. And I want to know how to get from the point of that icky feeling of spending money mm-hmm. to actually feeling good.
Well, can you give me an example of something you spend money on that you feel icky about and something you spend money on that you do feel joy in relation to?
Well, let's see. I just worked for 20 years and had an illness, and I decided not to go back to work. So I've used some of my RSPs for the last year, say. And I feel like I am absolutely on my right path and stuff, but still sometimes the feeling of, oh, my gosh, if I had have left it there in the bank for another 10 years or whatever, then, you know, there would have been more of it.
Okay, so you did sort of a comparative, gee, I could have done this or I could have done that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, oh, okay. And what's an example of something where you spent the money and you just felt great about it?
Well, sometimes when I do spend the money, then I'll feel great at the moment and then kind of have a little bit of that maybe remorse or should I have done that or, you know. I think it
Okay, so here, look, let me give you one of my favorite strategies, Susan, because okay. this is one of the things that has, I don't know if I would say it saved me more money over the years, but it's given me more value for my money than almost any other thing that I've learned to do.
Okay.
And it's a last move just before you pull the trigger on buying something. And
okay.
you can do it with small purchases, but it's especially great with any slightly larger purchases. And it's just before you actually conclude a deal, you ask yourself, okay, I've decided that it's okay to spend this much money, whatever it is. So, for example, I almost booked on a course yesterday that I heard about on financial fluency, because I'm sort of studying money stuff in relation to some of the work that I'm doing. And I thought, ooh, that would be useful for my coaching. And I was about to do it, and I just stopped, and I went, okay, it's $350. Now that I've decided that it's okay to spend $350, is there anything that I would rather spend it on? And as soon as I did that, I went, oh, well, gosh, yeah, there's a bunch of little things that I've been sort of wanting to do, little sort of online courses that I'd looked at, and I thought, ooh, you know what? If I'm going to spend $350 because I've decided that's okay, I'd far rather do those. And so instead of spending the money on this course, which might have been great, I may still do at some point in the future, I was able to actually use that money to do a bunch of smaller things that I had been wanting to do but thought, oh, I don't have money for that right now.
I see.
And so what I'm going to suggest to you, and again, just practice with this, play with this, is since what you've been doing is you've just got the sequence a little bit wrong. You see something you like, make the purchase, and then feel bad about what else you could have done with the money.
Right.
So instead, you're just going to shift it, and you're going to go see what you like. And just before you spend the money, you're going to stop, look at what else you could do with that money, and then make your decision. And I think what you'll find is it's going to completely transform the amount of joy you feel because you're going to actually be you're going to be pre-regretting. You're going to be pre-looking at the other options. And
right.
It's going to allow you to make choices that bring you more value in terms of getting more of what you really want from the money that you're spending. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Fantastic. Thank you for phoning in.
Thank you very much.
All right. Let's go to Tom in Albany, New York. Tom, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Hey, how you doing, Mike? You're talking about joy. So I was a musician for many years. It brought me some joy, but a lot of stress, too,
mm-hmm.
until I kind of moved that as my second income, and I found I got a lot more.
Right.
You know,
so in other words, you kept on doing music, but you stopped trying to make your entire living off that.
Right. So well, my question involves my first income now, my day job, is not I'm kind of starting to dread it.
Right.
So I'm at a point where I could either, you know, I'm still making enough money that I could conceivably go back to school or try another occupation from the ground up. But I just can't decide what.
Look, let me tell you something that sometimes helps with this. I love jumping out of airplanes, but I really hate doing it without a parachute. I mean, I've never actually tried doing it without a parachute, but, you know, if I did, the idea doesn't really appeal to me. And very often when somebody's in a situation like you where they're beginning to contemplate, you know what, I think what I'm doing isn't really what I want to be doing. I want to be doing something else. The difference between it being a fun adventure and it feeling like a, oh, my God, what should I do kind of a choice is just making sure you've got enough of a parachute to give yourself some time to float around and try things. And with money, that basically means having, for most people, 3 to 6 months is plenty, but having some money put aside that just means that you don't have to keep earning at the rate that you're earning to keep living the way that you're living.
Yeah, I kind of have that right now.
Okay. So let me ask you it this way, I don't need numbers, but how many months could you go without earning if you needed to?
Well, can I count the second income?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, if that's something that you're enjoying doing, absolutely count.
Yeah, so, you know, considering what I will make doing that, I could go 3 months without earning any first income, any day job income.
Okay, so great. So that's the sanity check in place. That's the, okay, so whatever I plan, I know that if it all goes horribly wrong, I'm good. I've got 3 months to sort of sort through that. So let me ask you the real question, though. What I think is the real question, which is, what would you love to do?
This is where I get flummoxed, because there's things I love to do, but I can't find the occupation that encompasses it.
Right. No. Sorry. The question wasn't, what would you love to do in a way that you think you can get paid for? It's just, what would you love to do?
Well, I love having some creative input into group projects, like be it writing or music or brainstorming.
Okay. So having creative input into group projects. So what are some group projects you've had creative input into that you've really enjoyed?
Well, I did this show with a dance company. Where I was the bass player, but I'm also involved in the writing of the music and some of the writing of the show. And it's a very dynamic group, and it's been a lot of fun to work with them.
Okay, so here, let me make a suggestion, Tom, because it strikes me that you're in a position where there's only two little things that you would need to change to start enjoying the whole game a lot more.
Uh-huh.
And the first one is, start looking around at some group projects that you would love to get involved with, that you'd love to have some creative input into. So in other words, instead of thinking, I need to now find a job or a profession that allows me to do that on a regular basis, just actually, you know, look around. I mean, I don't know Albany that well, but, you know, most towns have projects that are going on. Certainly you can usually find groups on the web that are involved in things. And actually just offer to get involved. You know, if you have a particularly good idea, you know, with a company, you can actually just go to them and say, look, I've got an idea that I think can make this difference for you. You know, would you be willing to pay me to play? You know, if it works. Even if not, you can start just playing. Instead of waiting or trying to find the perfect job that would allow you to do that, just start doing it. The second little shift that works with the first one is, if you recognize that that first job, its function in your life right now is simply to give you the time to explore and to find more things that you do really want to do and more opportunities to make money doing other things, your feelings about it are going to change. Because right now that job is the millstone. It's the, oh God, I have to do this. This is, oh God, it's the grind. I mean, that's what you've said, yeah?
Yeah.
As soon as you start looking at that as funding your creativity and funding your independence and funding your search for work that you really love, it becomes a different job. Now you're doing it for a very specific purpose. And as soon as you've achieved that purpose and you're really expressing your creativity and you found other work you want to do, you can leave it. You can even start using it, if you want, to build that freedom fund up from 3 months to 6 months.
Right.
So that if you do decide you want to do something like go back to school, that becomes a more viable option. But in other words, don't fall into the employee trap. Who can I find to pay me to do what I want to do? Play creator. What is it that I want to do? And let me go out and do it. And what you find is that the money will follow you that way. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
All right. So look, your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to go out and be creative and apply the same creativity that you like applying in group settings to your own money making. Because when you start using that part of your brain, you're going to find that not only do you enjoy the game of figuring out ways to make more money more, you're going to be better at it.
Okay.
All right, Tom. Thanks.
I like that.
Please keep it fantastic. Keep us posted. You can leave us messages on the message boards at www.geniuscatalyst.com. There's a radio show message board. And also one for the tips, the MNCT. If you want to subscribe to the weekly and daily tips, you can do that at geniuscatalyst.com, and you can sign up for those things for free. We're going to be back with more of your calls and more thoughts on how you can create more value for money and more money to create value within your life after a short break. If you want to get in, the numbers to call, 1-866-254-1579. It's toll-free, so you can listen to the show while you're online. 1-866-254-1579. Or from outside the United States, you can reach us on 001-760-918-4300. Mary and Sandy, hang on. You're going to be the next ones on air. And I just want to finish this segment with a little quote, a little Marcel Proust. The real voyage of discovery consists not in seeking new landscapes, but in seeing with new eyes. So have a little think about that. We're going to be right back after this break. Talk to you soon.
Welcome back to You Can Have What You Want with your host, Michael Neal.
We are back. We're going to go back to you on the phones in just a minute. If you want to get in, numbers call 1-866-254-1579 or 760-918-4300 from outside the United States. I want to give you a little exercise that you can do, a little task. If you get a pen and paper, you might want to just make a couple of quick notes right now. Start out by making a list of your primary expenses, the things you spend the most money on in your life. So for most people, that's going to be your mortgage. It's going to be maybe schools. It's going to be the bills, just the things that you spend regularly on. And go back over that list and just rate each one of those items on a scale from 1 to 10 in terms of value for money, the way that we're talking about value for money here. In other words, how much value does that expense have in your life? How much poorer would your life be without it? So, you know, an example is, for me, going out for lunch is an 8. I love going out for lunch. I use that time to think and I reflect and I enjoy and I connect with other people. And having like really expensive clothes is about a 2. It just, you know, I can dress up pretty, but it just doesn't really make a difference to me. My wife is exactly the opposite. So for her, going out for lunch is like, why would you spend money going out for lunch? But, ooh, if I can get these new shoes, that's fantastic. That's her value for money. It's not that I'm right, she's wrong, she's right, I'm wrong. We have different values and in that area, and we are able to get different value for our money because of that. So when you've gone through that for yourself, when you've made that list of what you spend money on and had a look at, well, how much value do I get? How much joy? How much meaning am I getting from this expense? Look for places where you can make some real changes in your spending based on what you learn. So what are those things that you've been spending money on where you're not getting what you value for what you're spending? And what are those areas where you could get more of what you value for your money? And just have fun playing with that. And what I found from experience doing this with myself, but then doing it with clients, is most people find one or two places where they can make a really quick change and start feeling like their money is being spent much more wisely and much more well. So with that said, let's go back to the phones and let's go to Mary in Washington, D.C. Mary, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Hi. Well, to get to my question, I have to tell a little story.
Okay.
Okay.
Does it begin once upon a time?
Once upon a time.
Will it end happily ever after?
I don't know. Maybe.
Well, let's hope it. Let's hear. We'll work on the ending. You do the beginning. We'll work on the ending.
Okay. All right. Well, for years, my husband and I have had this this dream of purchasing a beautiful spot of land with a nice little modest house on it, or just a place. We've had it in mind, and we found it last week, and we were so excited because we realized that we had some stock that we were heavily invested in a single stock, and our financial advisor had been saying, you know, you need to get rid of this because it's flat, it's not going anywhere, and you need to get rid of it. So we thought, oh, this is perfect. So we figured out, you know, how much we would net from it, and then how much of a mortgage we would need to make this house purchase. And so we were really happy about that. So we sold the stock and, you know, got the market price, and you know, we were feeling really like, wow, this is great, and our dream is right in arm's reach. And then suddenly, like, the next day, this stock that had been flat just starts going up. It just starts shooting up and up. And I'm sitting there and I'm saying, oh my gosh, if we had waited one day, we wouldn't have had to have any mortgage on this house. And it would have really been a fantastic thing. And so, and then I start feeling miserable, like, and angry, and I'm just so upset and just don't know what to do. And I'm mad and I feel tricked. I feel tricked by the universe and I feel mad at my financial advisor. And what should be a celebration and feeling happy that here's our dream and all this abundance and, oh, we're so lucky that we had these resources, we could even do this. All of a sudden, it feels bad, and I don't want to be that way. I want to celebrate.
Hang on, Mary. I'm just getting my broker on the phone. I want him to ask you what else you're selling so I can buy.
But, that's it. And I want to tell you, this has happened to us before. It has happened to us before.
Okay, so look,
it's not the first time.
This is. There's so many things I want to bring out from what you're saying. So
okay,
let me just dive in. And the first one is congratulations on your dream house.
Thank you.
Because
I
think.
To have a now.
Yeah, no, I understand that.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously, you know, none of us have ever had a mortgage, so we're all feeling for you. But
yeah.
but there's a couple of keys to this. One is understanding about the markets and about trading. And you know, most people, you know, who play in the market a little bit, don't really haven't really studied the psychology of it. And one of the things about the psychology of traders is the surest way to totally blow it in the market is to look at what might have been. I mean, just that's universal. That's nothing to do with you. That's anyone that wants to upset themselves can play the market after they make their move.
Uh-huh.
That's just guaranteed. The absolute fundamental guideline that I've really never seen contradicted by people who actually make money in the markets is always sell too soon.
Really?
And that's, if you look at the difference between the people who make money consistently, not somebody who gets a one-off great hit, but the people who make money consistently in the markets, that's one of the rules of thumb that you will almost always find that they trade by. Because they know that it could always go up, but it could just as well have happened that it went down. It's a bit like if you went to Vegas and go, oh my God, I stopped betting on red and then it came up red four times in a row.
Yeah.
It was still random. It just, you know, because of the context and the time frame you were looking at it in, it felt like it wasn't.
Like the next day.
Yeah, no, absolutely. No, I get that. Look, I mean, I was convinced when I was a student in London and trying to get in to see Phantom of the Opera, and I went down for standby tickets, and three times in a row, I was the last person in line that it got cut off at. You know, and I was convinced the universe was against me.
Yeah.
I guess the universe decided it liked me the fourth time.
Yeah.
You know, in other words, it's if you get a group of people, and they've actually done this as a social experiment, and you get a group of 100 people, and they flip a coin, and it's a flip heads contest.
Yeah.
And so every time you flip heads, you get to the next round. Anyone who flips tails is out. Well, the first few coin flips, you know, 50 people drop out, then another 20 people. And after about four or five coin flips, what happens is you've got three or four people left that have gotten heads each time.
Yeah.
And people start interviewing them about, wow, how do you do it?
Yeah.
You know, what's the trick?
Uh-huh.
And they might even start to convince themselves that, well, it's because I think positive. I focus on the heads. I visualize heads in my mind. I, you know, whenever tails comes up in my mind, I see a big red X. I go, cancel, cancel. The reality is they're flipping a coin. And when you flip a coin, a certain number of times within the structures of probability, it will come up heads sequentially or it will come up tails sequentially. Now, that's not to say that we have no influence at all, but the kind of influence that we have is generally a lot more subtle than, hey, I can make the stock market dive or sail according to what I do.
Yeah.
In other words, you're just probably not quite that powerful. Now, that's it, which is good news. Now, the other thing that I really want to bring out from this is decision criteria. In other words, the reasons we have for making our decisions has a huge difference in how we get, whether we really tap into our sort of intuitive selves, the bit of us that is maybe in tune with the way the universe is working, or whether we seem to be sort of like victims of it, where it, hey, how could the universe do that to me? I've been good, you know, which is kind of where you're coming in. And it's, are you making your decisions based on reasons? Well, you know, logic says this stock hasn't moved and I, you know, and here's this house and blah, 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 which all makes sense. Mm-hmm. Or are you making your decisions based on your inner sense of what's right for you for now and what isn't? What you really want to do for whatever reason, even if it makes no sense, and what you don't. Mm-hmm. On your sense of, you know what, I don't know how I know this, but I just know to do this or not. You know, what? It's sort of a combination of intuition and inspiration.
I had that feeling about it, actually. You know, the other day I was feeling really peaceful and good about it.
Okay. So what I'm going to what that suggests to me,
yeah,
is that that was, for whatever reason that will make sense later,
mm-hmm,
you're better off having that small mortgage, whatever it is, than you would have been if you'd been able to pay it off in one go. And I can't explain why, but it's an interesting point of view that you can take on anything, which is the idea that the cause is in the future. You know, we look at why did something happen as if the answer to why it happened we can find somewhere in the past. Oh, it's because I didn't eat my broccoli when my mom told me to when I was 4 and I'm being punished, you know, or it's because I didn't listen to this or I didn't do that. But very often, and tell me if you've found this in your life, because most people I talk to have, the cause is in the future. It's like you understand now why there was something that you did younger. You know, maybe you had a relationship that didn't work out. At the time you're going, why isn't this working? And now you know it's because it was preparing me for this wonderful relationship that I'm now in. Or there was something that you were interested in that you think now, wow, at the time you were going, why am I doing this? This is such a weird hobby for me to have. And now you've realized that it helped you develop a skill that's important to you. Do you have anything like that in your life?
Absolutely, definitely. Yeah, a lot of times I think that seems so terrible at the time, and then later I go, well, gosh, that really makes sense now. And I believe all that. And I guess what's the level of my distress, it has just kind of like, I know all this stuff rationally, but
mm-hmm,
something in me is just boiling about this. You know?
Right. So look, you know, that something in you that's flailing,
yeah,
you know, take it out for a nice meal.
Yeah.
You know, stick it in a warm bath, you know, maybe with bubbles, and say there, it'll be all right, and know that it will be. That's just a reaction. That's a natural enough reaction. But it's just a reaction. You don't have to build it into anything more meaningful than that.
Okay. So what do I get? A day to be
really, you know, I'm personally right now, I think, as the host of the radio show, I think,
yeah,
I have the right to actually give you 3 days.
3 days. Okay. All right. I'll take
okay.
it.
All right. So indulge, bang pots and pans, curse the universe, and, you know, give me a call back in a couple of weeks when you're feeling great about your dream house and getting excited about moving in again.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Mary.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Let's go to Sandy in New Hampshire. Sandy, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
I also have a little bit of a backstory before I ask my question.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what. We've probably got time for the backstory, and then if you'll hang out with us over the break, I'll come up with a really clever answer. And then after the break, I can tell you that bit. So backstory and action.
Well, yeah, it's relatively simple. I made some really bad financial decisions. I got married, and I handed over the finances to my then-husband, and he tore through them, and so now I have really horrible credit. My credit's about 546. I don't know if it could get much worse than what it is.
Well,
so,
it could go to 543. Okay, yeah, sorry, carry on.
So here I am paying off these bills and attempting to increase my credit. And I would like to find the value in that. I would like to find, you know, I would like to feel like instead of that I'm throwing money into a black hole of 546-ness,
mm-hmm,
I would like to find the value in paying off. You know, I have medical bills, and then I have these previous husband bills. And
okay,
they just don't feel
do you, have you looked into the repairing your credit score stuff enough to know that the actions that you're taking will ultimately repair your credit score?
Yes, but it's going to take a really long time.
Okay, what's really long?
4 or 5 years.
Four or five years. Okay, so great. So give me a ballpark. Are you in your 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s?
I'm 35.
Okay, fantastic. So if when you were 30, if there was somebody who had started for you when you were 30, a fund, a sort of a financial independence, financial freedom fund, and they'd been putting money aside in that fund every month so that when you were 35, you would have that money and you would have that freedom. Would you be grateful to that younger you?
Yes.
Okay. So the value in what you're doing is for the 40-year-old you. She is going to be unbelievably grateful that you took the time and the energy and the effort and went through all the learning and struggle in some ways involved in this for her so that she could start on a much more open playing field with a lot more freedom and a lot more choice.
That makes perfect sense.
Well, then I'm going to finish on that perfect point. All right. Thank you very much, Sandy.
Thank you.
All right. And look, that's a point for all of us. You know, it sort of ties into that idea of the cause being in the future. I mean, if you can't make sense of things in the present or in the past, well, the future is not a bad place to look to make sense of them. We're going to talk more about that. We're going to talk more with you. We got plenty more calls and a few more little tricks up my sleeve. And we'll be back with that after the break as well. If you want to find out more about the kinds of things I'm talking about on this show, you can find them at www.geniuscatalyst.com and sign up for the free newsletters. You can also sign up for the Wealth Club, which is a monthly club for people who want to make more money by making more of a difference. All the information is there at geniuscatalyst.com. We'll be right back after this.
Welcome back to You Can Have What You Want with your host, Michael Neal.
We are back. We're talking about how you can get more value for your money and more money to create value within your life. And we're going to go right back to the phones. Let's go to Regina in Detroit. Regina, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Hi. My name is Regina, and I've actually been laid off for quite some time.
Okay, could you speak up for me just a bit?
Oh, I'm sorry. Can you hear
hello.
Me?
Yes, there you are.
<I'm sorry. laughs>
That's great. Thank you.
I've been laid off for quite some time.
Okay.
And I stayed in school, and I'm trying to figure out a way to stay in school and make money from home.
Mm-hmm.
The school is online. I have to do a clinical preceptorship in the hospital. Every time I go to apply somewhere, I don't know if it's my vibe, but I just can't find work or if it's just the area.
Okay, so... let me ask you, what do you think? I mean, if you walked in and, to my office, would I go, wow, there's somebody I want to employ? Or would I go, oh God, look what the cat dragged in?
No, I actually have been I haven't gotten any interviews, only except one or two. And I was very prepared for them. I
mm-hmm.
was very nice. I was very upbeat. And I don't know if it's just Michigan because we're having a difficult time here.
Well, what is it that you'd love to do?
Well, I like to do administrative work. That's what I've done in the past, paperwork. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to find out maybe some typing or something I could do on computer from home.
Okay. Do you know about virtual assisting?
No. What is that?
Okay. There's a whole field called virtual assisting, VA. And if you type that into Google, you'll find more information than you can shake a stick at.
Mm.
And it's essentially for administrative assistants who work from home for multiple bosses.
Didn't hear of it. Okay.
So they essentially you charge out your time hourly.
Okay.
And so I might use a virtual assistant 10 hours a week. Someone else might use them 10 hours a week. Someone else might use them 5 hours a week. And so you essentially are freelance. You're working for yourself. You're working from home.
Hmm.
But it's a way to apply those administrative skill sets. And there's a growing demand for it because there are more and more people who do what they do from home and don't need a full-time assistant and couldn't really afford one if they had one.
Okay.
But just to have somebody who can answer the calls and who can deal with some of the administrative stuff is a real gift for them. So
okay.
I don't normally just give advice like that, but
mm-hmm.
you know,
that's
why
helpful.
Why
I'll
not?
Check it out today.
So go play and good luck.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Regina. You bet. Let's go to Helen in Montreal. Helen, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Yes, hi. I'm phoning because I'd like to increase my client base. I'm a spiritual psychotherapist doing astrology and tarot.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm already following your advice about the 25 things you can add to your practice. So I've already done that, and I found that was really a wonderful thing. And it actually increased my self-esteem and really made me feel like I was serving better.
Great.
And still I want more clients to be able to support myself with this.
Okay, so I think there's a little clue for me in there, and it's also in, and I'm going to assume that you actually said what they've typed up on the board for me here, which is how can I quickly increase my client base?
Yes,
is that if you're coming after something like this from that place of scarcity, lack, fear, worry, concern, you know, again, if you've listened to the show for any length of time, you know that I don't think that it's all in your head and that you can just think your way to success, but it does matter. You know, it does, what you put out does impact what comes back. And if what's going out there is a sort of a desperate energy, that actually tends to repel people rather than draw them to you.
Mm-hmm.
So one shift to make is just to do what you need to do to know that it's okay if it takes a little bit of time. Now, by the way, I just want you to know, I'm going to get to ways that you can quickly increase your client base. So I'm not saying don't do it.
Sure.
But I'm just saying energetically, you want to get to the place where quick or slow isn't the issue.
Yeah.
Because that way, it's just so simple. I mean, you can think about it for yourself. You know the difference between when somebody approaches you. Like we have two dogs, and one of them, I mean, they're both lovely dogs, but one of them is so desperate for affection that we wind up pushing her away half the time. And the other one just kind of sits there and looks at you and goes, you know, if you wanted to pet me, you could. And, you know, she gets all the action. And it's just because that desperate energy, it's kind of like, oh. And it's the same with clients. You know, clients can sense that. You know, they don't want to go to somebody who's desperate for work. They want to go to somebody who can help them.
So do you think it's a good idea to get a part-time job?
That's one of the ways of doing it. I, with the exception of the previous call, I don't normally, you know, like to give advice because I don't know enough about your life. Mm-hmm. But it's not a bad idea. Sometimes people think, oh, I failed. I had to get a part-time job. No, getting a part-time job is often a great way of taking the pressure off what you love so that you can just continue to love it and develop your skill and develop your business to the point where you can make the transition.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of quickly increasing the client base, I know of no better way to do it than to get on the phone and start calling people and saying, hey, I'd like to work with you. And depending on, you know, I didn't get quite enough of a sense of how you do what you do to know how you would have to phrase that so people don't go, why, do you think I'm broken? You know, or if people would go to you just because they want to learn more about themselves, because they want to be happier, because, if I was going to hire you, what would I hire you for?
Oh, I just wrote an ad this morning, and I'm basically what I'm saying is that there's a roadmap that can really like kind of lift the mystery off of, you know, to help you find your way to your true heart's desire.
Okay, so which one of my problems are you going to solve? Mm-hmm. I've got a pile of them. Which one can I give to you?
Well, you're not really going to give me any of them. what I can do with tarot and astrology is just really help you find where you're hiding your power.
Oh, okay. So if I want to really connect with my power, you can help me do that.
I can.
Okay, fantastic. Boom. So again, what you want to do is keep playing games like that to really refine what it is, what's the difference that you're going to make for people? Because that's what it is that they're going to engage with. That's what it is that they're going to want to hire you for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's nice to know that you're going to help me find my path, but that's less interesting to me than knowing I can have my power. It's like, ooh, you know, that's tangible. That's something that, that's from my point of view, that's benefit versus feature is the way that we would traditionally talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about ads, the thing about, you know, all these lovely marketing techniques is they're like little salespeople out there in the world, and they're wonderful to have, but I have never found anything that works as well with getting clients as getting on the phone, calling people and going, hey, this is what I do. Are you interested? No? Okay, thanks. Do you know anyone who would be? Thanks. And I'm not saying cold call. I'm saying start by making a list of 25 people. I don't know, 25 is obviously our number here. But, you know, 25 people who you know well enough to call. And some of them you might go, you know what, there's no way I'm calling them to say, hey, are you interested in what I do? But I could call them and say, hey, do you know anyone who would be interested in this?
I've been doing this with email lists, and
but a phone call is a whole nother game.
Uh-huh.
And it's funny. It's one of those things where I almost am disappointed when what works is something so mundane that anyone with no particular, you know, spiritual or any other intuition might do. But sometimes what works is straightforward action. And there's something about getting on the phone and the human connection that just accelerates the process massively.
Mm.
So you willing to give that a go?
I really am.
Fantastic. So what I would love from you is, and I've mentioned this before, but particularly because people listen to things like this and then they go, well, did she do it? Is for you to go on the GeniusCatalyst.com forums and just when you've done it and just let us know how you got on.
I will. So thank you very much.
It's an absolute pleasure. Thanks for phoning in.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye. All right. Let's do, should we do another call? We're going to do another call. We might even do two. I don't know. Let's go to Christy in Charlotte, North Carolina. Christy, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Hi. I have a major problem saying no. I have a very large family, and I have a major, major problem saying no to my family when it comes to money. And I have probably in the past 5 years given away probably $200,000, and I'm not rich.
Right. So could I have $50,000?
Sure, if I had it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you do have a problem. Well, so here's the question. Why do you do that?
You know, it's almost like even if they're not asking, if somebody calls me and says, Christy, they're going to cut my power off tomorrow. I don't know what I'm going to do. Automatically, it just comes right out of my mouth. Oh, I'll help you. I'm like, why did I say that?
Okay, so the question for you, Christy, in your experience, because you've been doing this for a while, it sounds like.
Oh, yeah.
Do those people never get into trouble again now that you've just helped them over that little hurdle?
Oh, my God. This is like an all-the-time thing.
Okay. So,
they stay in trouble.
So one thing to really get is that you're not helping.
Okay.
So, I mean, that lovely, you know, it's the, you know, the last thing that I would want is for that compassionate woman in you to get shut down.
Right.
But you've got to understand, you've got to be both, you know, they talk about feminine compassion and masculine compassion.
Right.
And feminine compassion is just whatever. It's the nurturing mother. It's, you know, whatever you need. Masculine compassion, and it's not about one or the other. It's about balancing the two.
Right.
Masculine compassion is quite ruthless. And it goes, if in order to save the body, we need to cut off the arm, we'll cut off the arm. And it's finding that it's not about weakening your feminine compassion. It's about really developing your masculine compassion and just beginning to see, hang on, what is the truly kind thing here? You know, this is their life. What you're doing effectively, and I'm not picking on you, but I'm talking to you, but what you're doing when you do that, when you rescue somebody like that, is you're affirming their helplessness. You're affirming their weakness. You're affirming their incompetence. You're affirming their own secret fear that they can't do it on their own.
Right. You're exactly right.
And that doesn't help them, and it doesn't help you.
It definitely doesn't help me. I know that.
So we're going to play a little game right now, you and me, Christy. Okay. I want you to repeat after me as I do it. Okay, ready?
Okay.
No.
No.
No. No, keep going.
No.
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 No. No.
No.
No.
No.
No.
No.
No.
No.
No.
No.
No.
No.
Okay, so here's your homework.
Okay.
I want you to practice that for at least 3 minutes a day. You can do it in the shower. You can do it, probably not doing it while walking down the street. People will look at you funny.
Right.
But one of the reasons, I mean, it may sound funny, but just by, we're not practiced in saying no.
Right.
And it's a word that has so much, oh, God, you know, what will people think of me if I say no? And it's something you can just get used to.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it gets easier and easier with practice. And again, it's not killing off your compassionate self. It's expanding it.
Expanding it. Then another that person finding their own resources.
Absolutely. The most compassionate, loving thing you can do for another person is love them unconditionally and believe in them absolutely.
Right. And, you know, I was actually taught, you know, give to others if you have it. But I think I've gone a little too far because I'm giving stuff that's not even mine. It's like credit and loans.
It's taking it to an extreme. It's, you know, they say a virtue is the mean between two vices.
Right.
That, you know, there's a virtue to giving, but at one end, you've got, you know, hanging on too tight and not giving anything away. And that's actually not a virtue. That's a vice.
Right.
And at the other end, you've got giving stuff away that's not even yours. That's not a virtue either.
No.
The virtue is in that in-between place where you find the balance. And it sounds like you're on your way to finding that balance. Even the fact that you knew to call in about it is a step in the right direction.
Yeah, I pay these bills every month. So, and I see the bank account. So I know, you know, I didn't accept it.
Yeah, so again, those of your relatives who want to send me hate mail can send it care of HayHouseRadio.com. But the Christie Bank has closed just for now.
It has.
Okay, Christy, have a lot of fun with this, all right?
Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome.
Thanks.
Listen, if you have enjoyed today's show, you will probably also enjoy some shows we have in the Hay House Radio Archives. Particularly, there's an interview I did recently with my friend Steve Chandler. I think the show was called 100 Ways to Create Wealth. And there's a show I have coming up on October 4th with my friend Paul McKenna, author of the new bestseller in the UK, I Can Make You Rich. Also, next week, we have a show coming up on relationships. Should I stay or should I go? How do you know when you're in a relationship that isn't working out the way you want, whether to stay and work on it or whether it's time to let go? So I hope if you have issues with that, you'll call in and share them with us on air. My thanks to Sonny, Joe, Kyle, and Diane in the studio for making this all listenable to. You can check me out at www.geniuscatalyst.com. Until next week, have fun, learn heaps, and I'll speak with you then.